3AW.
Shake your money maker. You know I got it. If you want to come get it, stand next to this money like,
You're listening to Money News with Ross Greenwood, live across Australia.
Great to have your company on Money News right around the country. It is Tuesday, February 7, 2017. The Reserve Bank made its first decision on interest rates for this year on hold. No surprise there. The surprise was a more upbeat assessment of the Australian economy, suggesting economic growth for the next couple of years around 3%. Then that's not stellar, but it's actually pretty good. Plus also the prospect of inflation rising back above 2% by this year. So you might see more pressure for interest rates to rise towards the end of this year. Very shortly we'll have John Simon, the founder and the executive chairman of the Aussie Home Loans Group, on to give you analysis of that and what you should do with your lending and all that type of thing. Stock market today, well, up by 7 points, the All Ordinaries Index, Aussie dollar 76.64 US cents. Very shortly we'll go to Jeff Kennett, the former Victorian Premier, because with Corey Bernardi defecting from the Liberal Party to create his own new Conservative Party in the Senate, it raises questions. Well, let's be honest, we only had an election in July last year. He was elected as a Liberal. Should he not still stand as a Liberal? He hasn't been voted in as an independent. So that's where it becomes really quite messy. The other point as well is whether our Parliament is still functional. We told you also last night on the program that there were going to be more retailers, especially in the rag trade, that would go broke. Now, I must admit, I didn't expect that to happen so quickly, because today, two companies, Herringbone and Rhodes and Beckett, have been placed into administration. We'll talk very shortly with the administrator, Bruno Secatore, who is from Cord Cordis, who have been appointed the administrators there. Also, Roger Montgomery will be in talking the stock market. And as I say, get plenty of your calls ready. But let's start with Corey Bernardi and his defection from the coalition government in the Senate. Let's go to what he had to say about some of the reasons and what he felt about the party.
I've reflected Liberal values since I joined the Liberal Party over 30 years ago. I had sincere hopes that the last election would deliver a positive outcome for the people of Australia. But what we saw was that over 1 million votes left the Conservative Party and went to alternatives. And those people have chosen alternatives, some of which, you know, represent their interest and represent the national interest better than others. My ambition was always to bring those people back into the tent. I regret over the last 7 months or so, we see more of them leaving the tent.
So that is Corey Bernardi today. Well, some of his colleagues clearly were very upset. Jumped straight on one of those, South Australian Senator Simon Birmingham.
I mean, I completely disagree with what Corey has done today. It was a dog act.
A dog act. That's what he's described it as. A short time ago, I spoke with Nick Xenophon, the leader of the Xenophon, Nick Xenophon team, and, of course, one of the wranglers of some of those crossbench senators. Here's what he told me.
I would be very upset and disappointed if one of my colleagues decided to do their own thing if they'd been elected under a platform. But the idea is that you work cohesively with your colleagues, you work consultatively, you work respectfully. People knew that his views were very different from others in the Liberal Party. You know, between Christopher Pyne and Corey Bernardi, it really is chalk and cheese in terms of their approach to politics and, in a sense, their temperaments, and it's not a criticism of either. I think that if you were to say that someone had to resign their seat if they left their party, then that itself would give absolute power to the power brokers.
Now, another man who's weighed in on this is Ewan Jones, who lost narrowly the seat of Herbert for the Liberal National Party at the last election. Here's what he said.
Corey Bernardi could walk down the main street of Melbourne or Sydney and no one would recognise him.
And that is the big difference between Corey Bernardi and Donald Trump. And Corey Bernardi is espousing many of those Trump-like qualities, claiming he's actually seen a new way for politics to work in Australia. Another man who I suspect is not terribly happy about this, the former Victorian Premier, Jeff Kennett, who has been taking to social media today in regards to all of this, and he's on the line right now. Many thanks for your time, Jeff.
Great pleasure, Ross.
Is Corey Bernardi not within his rights to do this?
Oh, well, I suppose he's in his rights, but he's not within his moral rights. And I agree with Senator Birmingham with one difference. He's a dog without balls. If you don't like something, you don't just spit the dummy and walk out. You actually work hard to convince the majority of colleagues that your argument is right. And this individual has been planning this for some time. He went to the last election under the banner of the Liberal Party to secure 6 years' employment paid for by the public, knowing that he was probably going to walk away as he's done today. So he's only done that knowing that he's got full employment for another 5 years. If he had the things that I mentioned a moment ago, he would have resigned from the Senate and offered himself for a lower house seat in South Australia. This man hasn't got a spine. He's been in Parliament for 10 years. He had no prospect of going onto the front bench for obvious reasons. And as you and some of the comments you've just played at the moment, if he thinks he's a Donald Trump, who was well known throughout the United States, both for his commercial activities and his television performances, or he thinks he's a Pauline Hanson, he's got another thing coming. So I think this is the height of the attention he's going to get, and I would imagine he is going to just drift into oblivion.
Okay, is there a place in Australia right now for a Conservative Party, for those people who feel disaffected by the current Liberal coalition government and do not feel as though it represents them? Is that not what Corey Bernardi is trying to tap into?
No, he's just a lost soul. Look, Ross, there's the Liberal Party, there's the Labor Party, there's the Xenophon Party, there is the Pauline Hanson Party. There's more parties on offer than ever before. People have got choice. And as one of your commentators said a moment ago, if he walked down the streets in Sydney, no one would know him. This man has got no critical mass whatsoever. So even if he's supported by some of the wealthiest people in the country, and I don't know whether he is or not, he has reached a point in his life when, in fact, it's all down here from now, all downhill from now in terms of his political career. And if I was Malcolm Turnbull, I'd be thanking God that he's gone and get on with the job of governing.
Okay, he's got to get on with the job of governing, but with one seat majority in the House of Representatives, with a Senate that he doesn't control, and quite clearly with some people who are likely to be drifting towards Pauline Hanson or drifting towards Corey Bernardi, wherever they end up, it means that the Conservative vote in Australia is being splintered. And if that's the case, are they not simply handing the Prime Minister's chair to Bill Shorten?
No, certainly not. Look, even the latest opinion poll, which wasn't good for the Conservative side, the Labor Party hasn't gained by that. The minority parties have, or the smaller parties have. No, what the public are crying out for, Ross, you and I have talked about it before, they want clear leadership. They want a vision and they want an explanation, an advocacy as to why that vision is going to be pursued and how. And the public don't necessarily want to agree with every aspect of that policy or vision, but they understand why someone's pursuing it. And I can assure you that there is 2 years to the next election. Corey Bernardi will never influence government, Labor, Liberal, Calathumpian. The major parties will continue to lead the debate and the other parties will continue to perhaps grow in influence. But once an election is fought, won and lost, then you've got to work with the team that are returned by the public. So I'm not concerned about Corey Bernardi, you know. Headlines today, fish and chips wrapping tomorrow.
Okay, and is Malcolm Turnbull capable of delivering that clear message to the electorate so that they understand precisely where the policies are coming from, and also are they capable of achieving those policies?
Well, it's not just Malcolm, of course, Ross. It's the team. I say about Corey Bernardi, I say about you, I say about me, you can't put a show to air on your own without a lot of support from a lot of people. Individuals don't deliver, teams do. So Malcolm has got to lead a team that develops the vision, that sells the vision that people can relate to. And that's the great challenge, the great piece of work, I think, for this year.
It's going to be interesting to see exactly how that goes. Before I let you go, can I ask you about one thing else that is in the news?
And this is what's that? In your team I support?
Yes, that's it as well. I want to ask you about, in your capacity as a director of Seven West Media, this issue in regards to Amber Harrison, who has now gone public on Twitter with a number of issues. There's been investigations from Seven West Media. And look, I have to declare, I'm an employee of Nine, the competitors, so I'm simply asking this very straight up. The process that Seven has gone through to get to this point in regards to the chief executive, are you happy with that process? Do you believe that it has represented the facts of what's taken place with the chief executive, Tim Warner, and the relationship with Amber Harrison?
Ross, you know that none of us condone that sort of activity, but it was consensual. And sadly, some of these relationships that start off with a lot of passion don't always work out. Once this relationship became public, the board investigated, the board made settlement with Ms. Harrison. This was before my time. She has to date received over $200,000. And late last year, she made a statement publicly making a lot of claims. The board, of which there were three new members who were not there previously, but collectively agreed we had to have an independent investigation of those allegations to find out whether there's any truth in them or not. We have spent, as a board, countless hours in board meetings. The independent investigator has reported back. Of all the allegations Ms. Harrison has made, none have been substantiated. Some have not been refuted. In other words, his word against hers, but no substantiation. The one outstanding matter was two taxi receipts, which didn't identify where they went to, but were quite within the realms of a chief executive after hours to use a taxi to get home. Now, I've got to say to you, I'm very disappointed and a bit frustrated. We haven't, since Ms. Harrison made these claims, in any way attacked her or sought to argue against the case she made. We set up an investigation to challenge the claims that she made against the company and Mr. Warner, and none of those have proved up. We have spent hundreds of thousands of dollars of our shareholders' money. We have spent hours and hours and hours of this. And I've got to say to you, as I say, I'm very frustrated. But I can say to you right now, knowing what I know now, knowing the result of that investigation, am I satisfied that Channel 7 has done the right thing, apart from the consensual activity that took place 3 or 4 years ago? I absolutely am. And I've got to say to you, we continue to honour our side of the contract, not to disclose things publicly. Ms. Harrison has decided to go public, but I remind you and your listeners, she has received over $200,000 to date. And that was done fairly. She was given time off. And these allegations now are, in my opinion, unfounded. But what is worse, Ross, and the thing that annoys me most, in some of her documentation, she has defamed some of the female staff at Channel 7. And I find that unforgivable. I really do. But this isn't an issue of gender. It's an issue of fairness. We've investigated her claims. We've spent our shareholders' money. An independent investigation has taken place. She is today releasing more emails and texts. Well, so be it. But in my opinion, this is now an issue of character. And we've done everything we can, and I will defend to the hilt the position that we have taken.
Jeff Kennett, former Victorian Premier, a director of Seven West Media. As always, we appreciate your time on our program, Jeff.
Thank you very much.